With the help of a Dublin woman by the name of Mary Gaffney, who has written on this man, today I wish to tell the story of Matt Talbot, a Dublin man who struggled with a drink problem for much of his early life and then led a severe ascetical life and became known after his death as the worker's saint. In fact, his cause for beatification and canonization was introduced in Rome in May of 1947. Matt Talbot was one of 12 children of Charles and Elizabeth Talbot. He was born on the 2nd of May 1856 and was baptized in the Pro-Cathedral 3 days later. He attended St. Lawrence O'Toole's Christian Brothers for a while and then the O'Connell Schools in North Richmond Street, but left at the age of 12. He was sent by his dad to be a messenger boy with the firm of wine merchants in North Lotts. They did an extensive bottling business with Guinness and Younger's. But before he was a year in that store, he returned home drunk one evening. His father gave him a hiding, removed him from Burke's, and got him a job as a messenger boy in the Port and Docks Board, where he was in charge of the bonded stores. Sadly, it was a case of out of the frying pan and into the fire, because in Burke's, his previous employment, the drink among the workmen was stout, and in the stores of the Port and Docks, it was whiskey, and he had begun his road to drunkenness. At 17, he became a bricklayer's labourer. He was an excellent workman and a great timekeeper, but after work, just about every day, he would go with his companions to the neighbouring pubs and shebeens to drink until closing time or until the money was gone. Sometimes on Saturdays, payday, he would give his entire 18 shillings wages to the owner of the public house, and he would be drunk by Tuesday when the money was all gone. He would pawn his boots to buy drink and would walk home without boots or shoes. On one occasion, when drinking with his friends, a fiddler joined them. And when the money was running out, Matt took the fiddle and pawned it. He then returned with the money to the pub and bought more drink. It wasn't until the party broke up that the fiddler realized that his means of livelihood was gone. Years later, Matt searched in the city for the fiddler and, not finding him, had masses offered as restitution. No matter how much drink Matt had the night before, he was always on time for work at 6 a.m. But someone was praying for him. Certainly his mother, perhaps others, and grace came knocking at his door. It happened when Matt was 28 years old. An incident occurred that changed his entire life. For a week he had stayed away from work, drinking heavily. Saturday found him sober, thirsty, and penniless. But he was confident that his workmates, finishing work that day, whom he had often bought drink for, would come to his help. So he, with his brother, stood near O'Mara's pub on the North Strand to meet the colleagues coming from work. The men passed, one by one, twos and threes, but none of them stopped to ask the brothers to have a drink. And Matt said later that that cut to the heart and his journey to sobriety had begun. His mother, preparing the midday meal that day, looked up with surprise and exclaimed, "Matt, you're home already and you're sober." After the meal, he turned to his mother and said, "I'm going to take the pledge." As he left the house, she said gently to herself, "God give him the strength to keep it." Matt went to Holy Cross Church and, according to his own account, went to confession and took the pledge with Father Keane, and that pledge he kept until his death 41 years later. From that time, he attended daily Mass at 5 a.m. in St. Francis Xavier's Church in Upper Gardiner Street before going to work at 6 a.m. After his evening meal at home, he walked to a church on the north side of the city, either in St. Peter's, Phibsborough, or Berkeley Road, where he prayed until it was time to go to bed. This was to avoid the temptation of meeting his former drinking mates and in an effort to quell the great craving for drink that was causing him immense suffering. Every week evening, every Saturday afternoon, every Sunday found him in church. He would give up all his company, confide only in his mother, when Father John Cullen, a Jesuit priest attached to Gardiner Street Church, founded the Pioneer Abstinence Association in 1898, Matt became one of his first members. He mortified himself rigorously. He slept on a plank bed with a piece of timber for a pillow. This left his face numb in later years. He slept in chains, which he wore for 14 years before his death, round his leg and around his body. He prayed each night from 2 to 4 a.m., then dressed and prayed again until it was time to leave for Mass in Francis Xavier's Church at 5. He would arrive at 5 a.m., if not earlier, and would kneel in prayer at the church's iron railings, waiting for the door to open. On entering the church, he would kneel and kiss the ground, then do the Stations of the Cross. In 1892, Matt took up employment as a bricklayer's labourer with the firm T&C Martin on the North Wall, and he remained there until his death. He fasted constantly. His breakfast consisted of cocoa prepared the previous evening by his sister, which he often drank cold. With this he ate some dry bread. For his midday meal he had cocoa, to which he would add a pinch of tea, and again drank cold. With this he took a slice of bread. His sister would bring him a small evening meal. If she brought fish, he would insist that she take it home with her and would make do with bread soaked in fish juice. On Sundays, he remained in the church for every Mass. Only on returning to his room at about 2 p.m. would he break his fast for the first time since 6:30 p.m. the previous day. The remainder of the day was spent in prayer, reading the scriptures and the lives of the saints. He gave all his money to neighbors in need and to the missions. One day, when Matt was on his way to Mass in St. Saviour's, it was Trinity Sunday in 1925, he collapsed and died on Granby Lane. He was buried the following Thursday, the feast of Corpus Christi, in Glasnevin Cemetery. In 1972, Matt's remains were removed to the Church of Our Lady of Lourdes in Sean MacDermott Street, where he is entombed today. The tomb has a glass panel through which the coffin may be seen. Many people go there to pray for his intercession, especially those with problems with addiction, either family members or for themselves. And we pray that the powerful prayers of Matt Talbot will be heard for them and indeed for us. Matt Talbot collapsed and died on Trinity Sunday in 1925, 96 years ago on this day.